This month we're going to be talking about, well, maybe for the next 6 weeks, something called chemistry. And I asked the band to just learn just a jazz groove there. And I told Rick had never heard the song, but Rick by nature is just rhythmic. He's musical. And I said, I want you to just come up and I want you to talk about chemistry, and I just want you to flow. There was a chemistry in life that we're going to talk about for the next 6 weeks where you just flow, where things come together and things begin to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, chemistry. All right. Before we get into our lesson, I do want to say this. Next week, Mother's Day, we're going to celebrate all of our mothers. But we're going to do this on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. We want all of our mothers. You can go to Paul Mitchell School. It's in Stones River Mall from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And you can get a manicure on us for free. All right? Just show up. I thought at least I'd get an amen from a brother or something. And that gives you, that lightens your budget there for the week. But just show up. We're going to have a light breakfast for you, and it's going to be a great time. All right. Chemistry. Everything in the natural mirrors what God has done in the spiritual. So we're going to look at the natural elements of chemistry this month to show how God flows things. Chemistry, the study of matter and the changes that takes place with matter. When chemistry occurs, can I show you what happens? Does anybody remember the 1990s Bulls? Oh, come on. Well, Coach Phil Jackson combined the likes of my. You just can't be a regular coach and just show up and coach Michael Jordan. You got a big ego along with talent to manage. And you had Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman. If you can coach Dennis Rodman, man, we just give you an award right there. So you look at a guy who had to weave chemistry, and one of my all-time greats is Coach K at Duke. He has a way of creating. They just want, y'all know they won the NCAA this year, right? So Coach K just has a way of doing chemistry. Chemistry also happens in relationships where you can finish each other's sentences.
Yes. Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, why are we studying chemistry? You know, chemistry was not one of my, actually, as a matter of fact, I saw chemistry and I wanted to run from it because it was something that I just did not want to take. I was afraid of chemistry. But this is the thing. When you really think about chemistry, chemistry is everywhere. It's how we do our food. It's in the leaves outside. It is the clothes you wear. It is the products you put in your hair. Chemistry is literally everywhere you look. It's what we drink. Chemistry sometimes is called the central science because when you really look at chemistry, all other sciences, the biology, geology, all of that stems from chemistry. Chemistry is also in relationships.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking a marital relationship, but in every relationship that you have, there is some type of chemistry. This is the thing. Just like chemistry can be the central science, it can also be the central to relationships.
Yeah.
You know what I love about it? This is the thing. It took a girl from Midland, Texas, population 250,000, and met up with a guy from Shelbyville, Tennessee.
Shuffle.
Population 2.
He was 1 when I left.
No, I don't know what the population of Shelbyville is, so if you're from Shelbyville, please don't get mad at me. Whatever the population is in Shelbyville. But this is the thing, what happened. It took two individuals, and one night we talked on the phone and talked for hours. And automatically when I got that phone, I felt like, oh, my God. I want to talk to him again because there was something there. There was something chemistry. That was something that I felt about this man. This is the thing. When chemistry happens, and as we further began to talk, we began to talk about purpose. And as our purpose began to line up, the chemistry grew even more. So what happens with the central relationship? It takes two purposes, and it puts it together, and then it takes the destiny that we're going to, and it builds something like believer's faith, it's a fellowship. Now, look, we're all surrounded by purpose and destiny just because chemistry.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, you're chemistry. And we're so glad you're here. So Matthew 18 and 20. Sorry, babe. I forgot, didn't I? You're supposed to finish my sentences. Matthew 18 and 20.
She gets on me when I do.
I do. It says, when two or three people are together, believing in me, I am there in the midst of them.
Yeah.
So that's what? Chemistry. So why chemistry? Why are we studying chemistry today? This is the thing. Number one, chemistry brings understanding. It helps me to understand this man that I'm married to. It helps me to understand the relationships with my boss, my friends, my sister, my mother. It brings an understanding of who they are and what they are. This is the thing. Proverbs 4 and 5 says, get skillfully and godly wisdom. This is the easy read version. Get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. The thing about seeking understanding is when you really look at it, sometimes have you ever sat with someone and you're like, there's something going on with them today. I need to find out what it is. It's just not the same. So I'll walk in the room and Jason, I'll be like, what's going on with you? I seek to understand because if I seek to understand wisdom, I get to know him. Yeah. Does that make sense? So you want to bring understanding. You want the discernment and you want to interpret.
The next thing is chemistry helps you make informed decisions. Chemistry is something that is a science, so it has a reasonable expectation, and it produces outcomes that can be reproduced over and over again. So I got to learn Barbara just like I got to learn everybody around me. One thing about Barbara, I know how she responds to certain situations. And if you're in a relationship, not just marriage, on your job or whatever, you got to know how people respond to certain situations. I'm thinking about, anybody remember lean times, like in your relationship to my financially, lean times? I remember a time when Barbara went to the ATM machine and she said, whoa, we only got X amount of dollars in the bank. And I said, just calm down. Her nature is to react a certain way to things. I don't react that way. I said, our bills hit this time of the month. Just keep riding it out. You're going to be just fine. All you got to know is that money in the bank, and by the time you get ready to go, things are going to be smooth flowing. There are certain situations that I put her in that I have to keep her informed so she doesn't find out that, you see what I'm saying, that kind of way. So I learn her. I learn what situations to put her in. It's called chemistry.
And speaking of, this is the thing. When you think about that, what was he doing when he was doing all that? He was trying to make sure that I stay safe in mind and peace in mind because if not, he knows I will go off and panic.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Chemistry helps keep you safe. When you really think about it, I've never told Jason this, but one time I'm a clean freak. I really am a clean freak, and I really am. Y'all pray for me. And so I remember when we was at our old house in our new home, and we had just bought it, and I was off of work. I had been not working for like 2 months when I first moved here, and so I cleaned all the time. I mean, all the time because I had nothing else to do and I was super bored. And I remember going in there, cleaning the bathroom, cleaning the toilet, Lonnie love. Cleaning the toilet. And what I was doing, I was mixing things together because I was going to make sure it was spotless clean. But when my husband got home, he would go to the bathroom, have a clean bathroom to go into. So I was sitting up there cleaning it and I began to mix products together. And I mixed the wrong ingredients. And I literally passed out. Because of the chemistry. This is the thing. Keeping safe is this in a relationship when it comes to chemistry. Making sure you don't mix in your relationship things that aren't supposed to be there. And that's in every relationship, from marriage to work to friendship. Making sure, and that goes from seeking an understanding of who that person is. So because he knows I will panic if I see a certain amount of dollars in the bank account, he knows to put extra money in there from somewhere. I don't know. To make sure that I know it's there, that's safe. Understand who you're in relationship with and seek understanding and then keep them safe.
I had no idea you passed out.
Almost passed out.
Chemistry also explains how things work. It's important to understand how things flow together. When you understand how things work, you begin to produce something greater than you and you produce the reason that God brought you together.
Chemistry is fun. How many people like to have fun in here? It is fun. The thing about chemistry, I do make a mean peach cobbler.
Yeah.
And when you put the peaches and the vanilla and the nutmeg and the cinnamon, you put it in a pot and you stir it up, and the syrup, and then you run it over the crust, the homemade crust that your mama gave you, the recipe that your mama gave you, and you put it in the oven, all those chemistry and chemicals are working together, and when you take it out, it brings out this beautiful recipe. And I love sitting in front of my husband with some Bluebell ice cream when it's safe again. Bluebell ice cream. And he takes a bite, and the delight that's over his face, I just have so much fun to look at that. Chemistry is fun. It brings out the best in people, and it makes you have a good time.
Yeah. Let's look at the principles. You go to my next slide. Let's look at the principles of chemistry. How chemistry works. The first thing I want to look at with chemistry, there is a cause. There's a reason that things come together. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, if you got your Bible, your phone or whatever you have, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2.
I might be going to the scriptures too fast, huh?
No, you're good.
Okay.
Colossians 2 and 2 says this, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of the wisdom of God. So as our hearts are knit together, we begin to see the mystery of what God has loaded inside of us and who God is himself. The chemistry that knits our hearts is what knits our hearts together in love. Everything God created and he brings together, he does it for a reason. God causes us to be knitted together at the heart, although we can be drastically different. We can, anybody know we can be drastically different? But yet we have a strong connection because what unites us is love, and love is not human. Yeah. You can have chemistry, whether it be in your marriage, your church, your friends, at work. There's a reason that God brought you together wherever you are. You're supposed to be producing something. And purpose is the neat reason we need chemistry.
Right.
Let me tell you what chemistry is. It's the fellowship that produces the reason, the need for things to come together. I want to tell you guys this. If there's anything that's going to be attacked in your life, in your marriage, in your church, in relationships, is chemistry. Because Satan cannot change purpose because he didn't create it. But what he can do is hinder chemistry. And when chemistry is hindered, you won't come together. You'll spend more time at a standoff than you will working together. I want to show you this. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you may have life and that more abundantly. What is he trying to steal, kill, and destroy when it comes to chemistry? Psalms 133, 1 through 3. Psalms 133, 1 through 3. It says this, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I was always curious. I'm like, why are you talking about some oil running down a man's head to his beard to the skirt of his garment? You know what it's saying? Unity is like oil that starts at the top. Whatever's at the top is going to be reflected at the bottom.
Right.
So if I want unity in my house, guess where it's got to start? I can't blame her. I can't blame you. It's got to start with me.
Good.
Remember the Titans, one of my favorite movies? He was going back and forth. Gary and I can't remember the other guy were going back and forth. He said, you have the worst attitude ever. He said, attitude reflect leadership, Captain.
Yeah.
So if I want something in place, it's got to start with me. Chemistry, look at your neighbor and say, chemistry?
Chemistry.
Doesn't start with you.
Doesn't start with you.
It starts with me.
Starts with me.
Go ahead.
So we have the principles of chemistry is cause. The second one is component. So number one, cause. Second one, components. Chemistry, hear this. Chemistry is a study of the matter. Matter is the name that scientists have given everything that you smell, feel, touch, see. Matter is everything around you. We just talked about that. It's what you see. It's what you eat. It's what you drink. Matter is anything that has a mass and takes up space. Look at your neighbor and say, you matter.
You matter.
The good thing about this, God understands chemistry. He's the creator of it, correct?
Yeah.
So God always supplies the material to fulfill his purpose. God always supplies the material to fulfill his purpose. Josh is the material for praise and worship.
Yes.
So he begins to sing, and when you put him with the band, oh my God, the chemistry.
Yes.
Because their purpose and their destiny connects. That chemistry. So God always presents the material. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a material.
I am a material.
That's supplied with purpose, that God has supplied with purpose.
Yeah.
Amen? So we matter. I matter. You matter. And each piece of matter brings with it different components that must be considered. So today I'm going to introduce to you two, you know, the periodic tables in science. There's two elements that we're adding today. And the two elements that we're adding to the periodic table is woman and man.
All right.
Woman is W-O. Yeah, give it up for the woman. W-O is the periodic table. Here we go. So what does it say? Everything. Every matter has components, correct?
Yeah.
So So here is the woman that has these components. The reactors. She wants love. She is faithfulness. She wants security. She needs safety. She needs trust. She needs affection. She needs intimacy. She needs to express her feelings and her emotions. Amen. And then she needs to receive compliments. Man, you look so beautiful today, Barbara. Thank you, babe. So those are our reactors. Now, this is very cautious when you talk about your components. Just like any element, and just like when I mixed those two components together that did not match and almost knocked me out, when those components in the wrong hands or mixed with the wrong mixture, caution, highly explosive in inexperienced hands.
Can any brother say amen to that? Now, can I go to the next component, which I think is probably the most important component of the periodic table? Can you switch here? The next slide is, man. What are men? Women have components, and you have to learn how women flow. Men are driven by honor. We're driven by respect. You want to see a man shut down? Disrespect him in front of his friends.
Right.
Disrespect him in front of his parents. You will not get a thing from him. He'll shut down and go recluse. Men are driven by sex. Women are driven by intimacy and feelings. Men are visual. We're driven by food.
Can we get cuddling after sex? Amen. Yeah. All right.
Well, yeah. The next thing is facts. We're driven by facts. I just learned one right there. We're driven by work, and we're driven by words of affirmation. Here's a caution about men. We cannot read minds, and we will make a decision with no known data. How many brothers know I'm telling the truth? I don't know what means. You all don't know. I have no idea what that means. And I will make a decision with no known data. Now, seeing this, yeah, I got a good amen with that. Go to my next slide. Now, seeing this, we're completely different. Men and women are completely wired different. Watch this. No two human beings in here are the same. We can display this because we're married. But you got two friends. I got some great friends in here. And we are the complete opposite. But something about it makes it work. What makes it work is called chemistry, cohesion. When woe meets XY, we matter as a couple. And that you take away words like you, they, and it becomes word like we and us. You know when it works better, whether it be church, whether it be work, or wherever you are? When it's not stuff like y'all, it's stuff like us. We are going to do great things. God is going to bless us because you take ownership of the connection. What does it take for cohesion to work? It takes two things, trust and a common bond. Go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. I want to show you what cohesion looks like. Genesis 2, 23 and 24. In the New Living Translation, it says this, "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." You know where it comes from? It's man with a womb. She had every component man had. The only thing is she had a womb because she was taken from man. Right. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Now, the two are united. Some translations say become one. Right. Become is not an overnight process. How many know it takes work? So cohesion requires a bond. Here's the thing about chemistry. You can't force it. Anybody ever find yourself trying to force a conversation?
Yeah.
And it did not work. It's like, what is going on here? You got to find, number one, your common bond. We are different, but we want the same thing. We both want a great marriage. Mm-hmm. We all want this church to grow.
Right.
You all want your friendships. You want to be safe, but we all go about it different ways. We have to connect on our similarities and explore our differences. I talk about Remember the Titans. Do you remember the turning point of that movie? There are two things happen, I think, that caused the team to turn around. Anybody seen Remember the Titans? Number one, he kicked the guy off the team who was bad to chemistry. There are sometimes you may not have to get rid of people, but you may have to drop attitudes.
Right.
You all right in there?
Right.
There's sometimes you got to lose to lead. They can be the most talented and most gifted player around, but if they don't connect, they'll ruin chemistry.
Right.
The next thing was this. When Julius and Gary bonded on the field because they both wanted to win and they combined their talents versus going against each other. When are you going to stop competing with the next man and start completing your assignment together?
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, we don't need to compete.
We don't need to
Let's start completing our assignment. The next thing is this, trust. Trust is when you combine what you have and you don't add or take away. I have to receive what God has brought me. Can I use a couple? Hey, Rick and Mike, can you guys come here? Anybody know the components of water? It's H2O, right? Sonia, can you come? These are two molecules of hydrogen. You guys stand right beside each other. These are one molecule. She's oxygen. You got to trust that two molecules of hydrogen combined with one molecule of oxygen will produce water. Here's what happens when you don't trust the makeup of the situation. These two molecules will look at her. Y'all look at her. Look crazy. Like, are you enough for us? Like, no, there's two of us and one of you. There's no way we can produce what you need to produce. And whenever you try to change the makeup of something, you're going to change the outcome of what happens. Tammy, can you come? If they decide that she's not enough and they bring somebody else, they change H2O to H2O2. And you don't get water, you get hydrogen peroxide. Whenever you try to change a person, you change the outcome of what you're trying to produce. There's a difference between change and self-improvement. Yeah. When you try to change who a person is, what they do, their personality, and all those things, you change the outcome of what God wants to do. Thank you, Tammy. But watch this. When you accept things as God allows them to be, and you trust what God has put together, you produce what God wants to produce. Thank you, guys. You can have your seat. How many of us find ourselves trying to change people? You try to change situations to make you comfortable. And whenever you change it and you add something that God does not want there, you'll never produce the outcome that God wants to have in that situation. That makes sense?
Good.
All right.
So you have to have a commitment. A commitment looks like this. Matthew 18 and 19. I'm going to wait like he did because I've been rushing through them. Matthew 18 and 19. Okay. I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything that you ask my Father in heaven, he will do it for you. 20. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. This is the thing. When Jason and I are together, or when you are together with your relationship, mother, father, sister, brother, when you come into agreement, the agreement is a plan, and you want to stick to that plan. Jason and I have a plan to become debt-free in a few years, so we have to stick to that plan, whatever that may look like. There's a plan and agreement that comes into play. This is a matter of faith, but not emotions or feeling, because your feeling will change.
Yes.
I feel happy this day. I feel sad this day. I feel happy about being debt-free. Today, I want to go to TJ Maxx and go buy something, so I'm not feeling so good about the plan. This is the thing. It's not about feeling. It's about faith. And you got to stick to that agreement, stick to the plan. It's not a matter of my preference. It is a matter of trusting the plan that God has for me and my partner and in coming into agreement with that, and then he's going to deliver and answer that problem. The second thing, is this mine or yours?
That's yours.
Okay. The ability to adapt to change. The ability to adapt to change. This bottle of water in here is going to always be H2O, correct?
Yeah.
If I freeze this water and I put it in the freezer and get it out overnight, what is it still?
Water.
It's still water. If I boil this and it heats up towards boiling over, it's still
water.
No matter what the makeup is, it's going to always remain
water.
So this is it. Its identity never changes. Your identity will never change once you become a child of God.
Yeah.
You matter.
Yeah. And you know what happens? We question our relationship because the way it looks changes.
Right.
When you go through things, how many know life happens? You go through challenges. You have kids that show up. You go through your ups and you go through your downs. And the way relationship looked, I love the way, I think Chapman was the first person I ever heard explain this way. Marriage is not 50-50. I don't think relationships in general are 50-50. Because it's like you're doing tit for tat. I clean the house, so you got to cook. It's not 50-50. It's about getting done what needs to get done. There are seasons in your life where it's going to be 25-75. It will not be like that forever. But what I'm committed to is making sure things work. And when I'm committed to the plan, it's not about my feelings. It's about faith. And no matter what state we're in, our identity does not change. It remains the same.
The thing is, we have decided, and you have to decide, no matter what relationship, that you're planning to stick it These are going to stick together.
Yeah.
What happens when I put this in the freezer or in the boiling water? The environment changes.
Yes.
The environment will change. Mm-hmm. Your relationship will change. But what stays the same?
The identity.
The identity of this water.
Yes.
I can still, if it turns to ice, I can still lick it. I can still it'll melt and I can eventually drink it. Okay? The identity of this never changes. Yeah. The environment around you may change, but who you are will never change.
The last point is this. Whenever you have cohesion, you bond, you understand who you are, you start to complete your assignment. Ephesians 3:20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think according to the power that worketh within us. There is a power that works within us when we start to combine and we work together. But after you've connected, you got to let the power work. The next thing is this. You got to let God complete things versus you competing in life. Philippians 1:6 says, he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have not always been able to stand up here and communicate like this as a couple. As any couples in here say, you didn't start where you are right now? I remember one of my first preaching engagements when we were married as a couple. My very first preaching engagement, we went together. It was a banquet. And they said, hey, can your wife introduce you? And I said, sure, my wife is a great speaker. And I went up to Barbara and I said, Barbara, they want you to introduce me. Here is what you can say. And you said,
I know what I can say. I know what to say.
In that moment, my whole world changed. I forgot about what I was supposed to preach. I forgot about everything that was going on in that setting. I'm like, I'm not trying to tell you. We sitting here arguing at the table, and I'm trying to preach because she interpreted me as saying she doesn't know how to speak. And all I was trying to say is, I know the environment. I know where we're at. You can keep it simple. I don't like a whole lot of words about me. That's what I was trying to say. When you don't have chemistry, you won't hear what's being said. You hear what you think's being said. That makes sense in here? A whole lot of us have misinterpreted situations. You think somebody don't like you and they have nothing against you. It may just be certain things about you that don't necessarily connect. But it isn't until you study a person, until you know a person, that now I thank God that we can stand together and I can even take sharp words. I can take soft words that she said because I know where she's coming from. Many of us, we have no clue where the people around us are coming from. And we spend a great majority of our time offended because we're not secure in ourselves and we're not connected. I want to pray in here. I want to pray in my heart because I feel that there are many of us in relationships that have disconnections. You may feel disconnected at home. You may feel disconnected on your job. Heck, some of you may feel disconnected here in church. You may feel disconnected with your friends or from life in general. Here's my challenge to you. Don't put the disconnect on somebody else. Own it. Where did a disconnect happen? Why is it not flowing like it used to flow? Because I will never see the change I want as long as I'm blaming her. But when I start to take ownership of the change, maybe it's not, it may be my boss, but maybe I need to approach him differently. Can you do me a favor and stand to your feet?